Sometimes, the best stories in golf aren't found on tour. You'll find them at the back of the range. And here's your host, Ben Adelberg.
And welcome to the back of the range. I am your host, Ben Adelberg. This is episode 338. Finally back home after two memorable weeks in Augusta, Georgia. I'm heading back out again for the Terracotta Invitational in Naples, Florida later today, but wanted to drop a special episode before I shoot across Alligator Alley and set up shop at Naples National Golf Club for the Terracotta. Before we get to this episode with Neil Shipley, I just wanted to take the time to thank everyone that followed the back of the range during the 2 weeks that I spent in Augusta. So many people came up and said hello. They said they enjoyed listening and following the back of the range. Really does mean a lot. You know, likes and comments on social media are great, so keep doing that, of course. But when someone stops you in person, yeah, that really does hit hard, and it is extra special. Thank you as well to all the great people at Augusta National Golf Club that invited me back to cover the amateurs. I look forward to returning next year. As I said, quick turnaround for me, off to the Terracotta, one of my favorite stops on the amateur golf schedule. Make sure you're following Terracotta Invitational on Instagram and all of the Back of the Range's social media channels. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know the drill. And also, every episode is available at thebackoftherange.com. I had a chance to chat with Neil last night. He picked up low am honors at the 2024 Masters. It's a shorter episode than most. We didn't get into all of his biographical information or the performance at last year's U.S. Amateur that got him the invite to the Masters this year. He's been on the podcast before. He's a veteran. So make sure you check out episodes 274 and 315 for tons of great stories from Neil Shipley. This episode, as you expect, is all about the Masters, his experience playing with Tiger, the infamous side glance in the Butler cabin, and was there a note from Tiger? There wasn't. I'm just teasing it. But yeah, there wasn't. But if there was, what would it have said? We kind of dipped into that one. Let's get going. Neil, welcome back. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Ben. It's good to be back at the back of the range for a third time now. I appreciate you having me on again.
Is it three times? I kind of feel it's been more. I feel like you're almost a co-host of this thing at this point.
We've had quite the journey together now over the last few years. It's been fun.
We've spent a lot of quality time together. I think maybe just passing the pro career, just hanging in the amateur space, we'll have a lot of fun. Well, no, you're going to turn pro. I think you should do that. That makes sense. Neil, appreciate you coming on. I said early on in the media center at the Masters, I said, if Neil Shipley makes the cut at the Masters, he is going to figure out a way to be the talk of the tournament. Somehow, some way, I thought it might be the hair. I thought he might be walking down the fairway with like a sandwich. I had no idea how it was going to happen, but I knew it would happen. You did not let the world of amateur golf down. You've had a couple days to just kind of decompress a little. I know you've been doing a lot of media, but you're a couple days out of there. Did that just happen? I guess that's the best question. Did this all just really happen?
Yeah, it happened all so fast and too quick. I mean, the week went by in a blur, and just being out there with one of the best guys to ever do it on Sunday was unbelievable, and just the experience of a lifetime.
Yeah, I thought Carter Pitcairn was great too. I mean, I don't know if he's the best to ever do it. But, oh, you're talking about Tiger. All right, we're gonna get to that. Most people listening to this podcast are very familiar with you. They're very familiar with your journey from James Madison to Ohio State, and especially a lot of the stuff you did this past summer in the Elite Amateur Golf Series. We'll touch on last summer just a little bit because I think it's kind of important to bring up kind of where this whole run started. So I want to get to that. But as you can imagine, there were two, related issues, topics, whatever, that occurred after your Sunday round with Tiger. I figured we'd knock these out real quick so we can get back on task. So number one, you're the low amateur, and you knew that after Friday's round. And you knew at the very end, no matter what happened Saturday, what happened Sunday, you know you're going to be in Butler Cabin with Nance, the eventual champion, Sherman Ridley, and it's going to be live on TV. Now, that being said, very, very few golfers sit in your chair, in the low amateur chair. It's a TV studio. Of course, there is the meme that is going around of the Neil Shipley side glance, I guess we can call it. Can you just maybe, for people that are just seeing the meme and just saying, oh, this kid doesn't know where the camera is, can you explain to everyone what kind of a pressure cooker that whole experience was for you and how it all happens?
Yeah, well, you know, I was so nervous going in there. And, you know, it, obviously that moment was for Scotty and mostly. And, you know, Jim is a pro at obviously, and Chairman Ridley's done it a bunch. And I was in there and I was just thinking like, man, let's not step on anyone's toes. And I just didn't want to say anything at the wrong time. So I was glancing at the teleprompter, looking for my cues.
Right.
When they're going to start talking to me. And I guess, you know, I didn't really think about it when I was, you know, glancing over and didn't know that the camera's at me. And I didn't really think anything of it. We did the ceremony. We went outside, did the outside ceremony with the patrons and the membership, and then, you know, got back home and, you know, was hanging out with my friends and family, and all of a sudden the memes start popping up and they start showing me all these memes of me in Butler Cabin. And I was just like, you gotta be kidding me.
One of my favorites too is, well, I think at this point you had already blacked out and you were unconscious because Nance asked you, so Neil, low amateur and you're going back, or you got the U.S. Open. What are your plans? You didn't even answer that question. You gave an answer to a different question altogether. You're like, yeah, well, you know, I'm going back to school and yeah, going to finish out college. And yeah, I'm excited. And they were like, okay, we're going to go now. It was just like, all right,
yeah,
Neil's not there anymore.
I kind of sidestepped his question pretty professionally and smoothly, I would say.
Yeah.
I was just not home. I was just like, let's just not swear on national television in Butler Cabin. That was the goal of the goal is not swear on national television in Butler Cabin. And, you know, we achieved that goal. So, you know, that was a successful interview in my opinion.
No, I think it's just, it's really cool that you have a sense of humor about it. And by the way, I mean, sure, we can talk about the opening tee shot on Thursday. We could talk about, the opening tee shot on Sunday with Tiger. But I'm guessing when they say, okay, we're going live in 3, 2, 1, is that probably the most nervous you are the entire week?
I absolutely, not even a doubt about it. I was that, and then I had to speak to the membership up on the putting green. I think there's probably a video of that somewhere, and I think I made that speech about 5 seconds long. I just got the hell out of there as fast as possible.
Hi, I'm Neil. I'm hungry. Thanks a lot. See you next year.
Great. Definitely a dream week for sure. But that was, you know, quite the way to cap it off. And, you know, I think, you've made it once you've been memed.
Yeah.
So, and I think we've.
Yeah. And you're an amateur and you've never done this before. And you're in, I mean, shit, you're in. See, I'm swearing now. It's okay. By the way, you can swear on this. It's fine. But you're with Nance and there. Yeah. So of course you're going to do stuff like that. Now the other one is the press conference. Now that, thanks to some people on social media, they're talking about the quote unquote awkward ending to the press conference when they ask you about this note that Tiger Woods gave you. So for the people listening, I was in the room. Okay. I was in the room. I was called on to ask probably like the fourth or fifth question, and there were probably 20 media people in there. And that question was asked by, I don't know who asked it, but it was like the 10th, 11th or 12th question. And I kind of got a sense that even before that question was asked, we're kind of coming to the end of the interview. We asked you about Tiger. We asked you about the week. We asked you about your parents. We asked, you know, someone asked you about James Madison and Ohio State. And someone asked you, I think, about NIL deals. But I mean, everything that was like you kind of knew was going to be asked was kind of coming to a close. And then they threw that one out. And And I didn't get a sense that it was awkward. I just thought it was like, where's that coming from? So I guess I'll ask you the question. Did that? I mean, you said it never happened. So this guy just saw something, a ghost out there. It never happened, did it?
No. I think, I'm sure he's a great guy and nothing against him, but yeah, I think he needs a new prescription or something in his glasses. Cause at no point in time did Tiger ever give me a note.
Well, Neil, listen, I have sources. I have people in the trees. I do know that there was a note, and I have five different sources out there, and they're telling me five different things. So you're saying there isn't one. I would like you to confirm that some of these are either, is it true or not true? So this is the one. So someone told me that the note said, "Hey, Neil, there's a Waffle House near my place in Jupiter. It closes in the middle of the night for me when I want to swing through, and the staff refers to it as closed for champions dinner." Is that what the note said?
That was not the one, no.
Okay,
no.
Okay, hold on. Let me go to the next
one. I think the nearest Waffle House to Tiger's house is, I think it's up in Stewart, so it's pretty far a hike for him. That one, definitely not true.
Okay, that's not true. All right, next one said, "Imagine if I wore blue and you wore red today. We'd blow up the internet." Did the note say that?
That sounds familiar to me.
Okay. All right. We're getting closer. Maybe.
Possible.
Okay. The next one, says, "What's with Moldovan in the push cart?" Is that what the note said?
You're getting really hot now, Ben. Okay. You're really, really getting close.
Getting warmer? Okay, hold on. I think I got the right one. "This kid caddying for you. Is he some part of a first tee program sweepstakes or something?" Is that what? No?
That.
Maybe. Getting warmer. No? Okay. The last one, I think I got it. I think we know what the note finally said. Did it say, "Do you want to go to Bucky's after this?"
Oh yeah, that was the one.
That's
Ben.
The
there
one.
You go. Hit on the nail.
That's it.
Hit the head on the nail.
We found it. All right, those were the notes. We'll just leave everyone's imagination to run wild, whether or not any of those are true. But this week, like you said, this week was a dream. You know, people in the golf world, they were introduced to you at the USAM last summer. I think that's when kind of, you know, you're kind of, you know, you put your flag in the ground there. They definitely learned about you after this week, but I want to go back to beginning of the last summer of Shipley. I mean, I guess it really started at NCAAs, where you got out of the gates really quickly and helped the Buckeyes get to the last day of stroke play. And then your summer was ridiculous. You know, part of the Elite Amateur Series, you had a lot of great finishes there, but it kind of seemed like a switch went off for you at NCAAs, and then just the floodgates went open. Do you look to anything that really got things started for you last summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think in my game, I started to putt a lot better and just didn't three putt as often, which was pretty huge for me because I'd been hitting the ball so well. And then also, you know, being in NCAAs and playing so well, also and playing well at regionals too, I kind of got the sense that, man, like I can go out there and compete with these guys, and I can finish high on leaderboards, and I don't even have to, you know, necessarily have my best stuff each week. I just need to kind of just play solid golf and, you know, be steady throughout the week. And, I kind of carried that with me throughout the whole summer and had a lot of great finishes, just kind of focusing on, you know, trying to play really, you know, solid fundamental golf and manage golf courses really well.
You, you're obviously, coming to the end of your amateur and collegiate career, but that Elite Amateur Golf Series, you went to Sunahan and were a runner-up there right after you're a runner-up at Dogwood, runner-up at Transmiss, you know, solid finishes throughout the summer. We're obviously getting ready to do that again this summer. What did that provide for you as you kind of made your way throughout the summer to the U.S. Amateur? Like, how important was it to have a schedule and to have consistency?
Yeah, I thought it's huge. You know, I think, you know, it kind of replicates a professional schedule in a way where, you know, you have all those tournaments and you can decide which ones you want to play. You know, I decided to play the four in a row late in the summer. And, you know, I learned a lot about myself on that stretch there because I got to the Western Amateur. And to be honest, I was really tired and had just gotten, you know, had a big travel, you know, snag and ended up sleeping on the floor of the Seattle airport.
Pac Coast. Yep.
Yeah, from the Pac Coast and like all that stuff. So that was, learned a lot about myself and that, like four tournaments in a row, that's a lot for me. Like, 3 weeks in a row is kind of my max. And, also taught me how to kind of like manage my weeks when I'm out on the road and, how to, get to the rental car center and where I should be eating and, maybe how to have some quick snacks in the hotel or things like that. So it was, super useful. And, that's kind of stuff is practical and things that I'm going to take with me for a long time. But, for the US amateur as well, just, having an idea of like, okay, this is how I should manage my week. This is how I'm going to prepare for a golf course. And, this is how I play my best golf on these really difficult setups. Cause every setup at that Elite Amateur Series, it's like a US amateur. I mean, you got really difficult pins and, long golf courses. And a lot of times, the golf courses get kind of turned up for us. Like I know Sonny Hanna, that place always has super long rough normally and fast greens and, trans mist. They had those greens baked out for us. Those are some of the firmest of the summer. And, same thing goes for Pac Coast and Western. Those places were, turned up for us. And when you get to the US amateur, you're ready to handle what the USGA throws at you.
Yeah, that's a great point. Cause you can't just kind of coast through the summer without competition or without challenges and adversity and expect to get through a USGA setup. You just can't do it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, those USGA setups are diabolical and they challenge every part of your game. And if you're coming into it without much practice or much prep and real under the gun pressure reps, it's hard to go out there and compete really well.
You made a lot of visits to Augusta before Masters Week. I know, you've told me stories how you've done trips and you're trying to play 36 a day or 27 or so. You're just playing a lot of golf. I know that, first of all, take advantage of every visit you could possibly do because why not? But how much did you think about doing that so you could kind of take a little bit of the pressure off of kind of cramming for the final exam of Masters Week, so to speak?
I think that was a really big portion of it. Once I wanted to get on property and just kind of like know what putts should do, or like if you have to putt over ridges, where to put it, like a green like number nine, you can be really creative with the lines you take on those, on going down those ridges or up those ridges, give yourself the best opportunity to, have a good lag putt. And so once I got on property, I already knew about all those putts and I knew which greens really got affected by Rays Creek, and it was a matter of just kind of adjusting to the green speeds and kind of adjusting the lines that I took for the green speeds we saw. I think doing all that homework really early was super beneficial. I feel like I, really managed my golf ball around the golf course super well those first 2 days and did a great job of, I didn't take a penalty shot and I didn't do anything stupid, didn't have any degreened balls or anything like that. So it was a pretty, pretty clean first 2 days.
Yeah. And the thing that really kind of surprised me a little bit is, and I guess maybe it was intentional, maybe it was just kind of happy accidents, but I don't think you played any practice rounds with a Masters veteran, someone that's been there. Wasn't it just Zach Johnson and Russell Henley for nine holes? Everything else is kind of you and Carter. And I think, Dunlap was thrown in for nine holes. But for the most part, wasn't it just you two?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was Carter and I, and we had Dunlap and Ludwig, who are both first-timers.
Yeah.
I did get nine holes with Zach and nine holes with Russell on the back nine. And I will say some of the things they mentioned, especially on some of those holes, like 13 was a really big one where they gave me a lot of information. We were talking a lot about the layup and kind of the best angles for all the pins. And they gave me a lot of good insight into where to hit it. And so that was super helpful. And they gave me a few other good tips on a couple other holes. And that's great. But I to be fair, before the tournament started, I had the opportunity to talk to Russell Henley on the phone. I talked to him first, and then I got to talk to Jeff Nicklaus for about the golf course, and I also talked to Larry Mize about it. So I had gotten three really experienced players, all from different eras and all with different types of games, and so I think I got a really good idea of how to attack the golf course and got a I think Russell, you know, he's a little bit of a shorter hitter, and he gave me a really, you know, the way he plays number three, I thought that was super helpful, because for some of those left pins and front pins, it's, you know, not necessarily the best thing to bang driver up there. It can be difficult to make, you have to two for that front left pin. You got a two putt from 50 feet if you hit driver pretty much. So it's, you know, there's been, there's a lot of good information I got from those guys. And I think that's why I didn't feel the need to go out there with, a guy had been out there a ton. Yeah, I felt pretty comfortable on property.
And now that I kind of think about it, maybe it makes more sense to have all those really intricate conversations off the golf course or over the phone. That way, when you actually get out there, you don't have nine different pieces of advice floating in your head. And now you're standing over the ball. And of course, everyone knows, like, you need to kind of clear your mind when you're stepping into a shot. But if you all of a sudden have two guys giving you advice while you're walking up to a ball, that just creates uncertainty that you don't need.
Yeah, exactly. If it's one of your first visits and you're talking to a caddy about the golf course and getting all the information, it can feel like you're drinking water out of a fire hose.
Yeah.
There's so much to learn about the golf course. And, I think as is really smart of me, looking back to really, I started the process in January of, getting to know the golf course and figuring out how to play it. And, I think most importantly, figure out where you can and can't miss certain pins, throughout the week.
Is it one of the harder golf courses you've had to prepare for in your career?
I think it's definitely one of the most challenging to prepare for, because the hole changes a lot depending on the pin location. When the pin locations change, your misses change drastically, I think a really good example of that is 14, because, I think most people say, oh, if you hit it long on 14, it's fine most of the time. That's definitely true if you're long right to a middle pin or a back pin or like a left pin. But if you have like a back right pin and you miss long right, I mean, that's really difficult. The chip from like down short is a lot easier, in my opinion. And so, you kind of change your strategy and what club you hit based off of that. And so I think, you have to be prepared for, there's six or seven pins on each hole that they've used in the past from the research that I did on the golf course. And, they tend to throw in a new one every year too. So you have to be kind of prepped for a lot of those and how to attack them in the most efficient way.
Yeah, it's such a, such a mental game that most people just don't really understand, that you just have to study it so hard. I mean, I'm guessing you and Carter every evening after the hole locations come out, you're just getting your book out and you're just working through it together.
Yeah, definitely. Once we get the hole locations in the morning, we're on the practice tee and it's like, okay, if the pin's here on two, it's like, okay, well, I think it was the third round, pin was back left on two. And, if you hit it in that fairway bunker off the tee, you can only advance it maybe 150 yards if you have a good lie, and you'd have a terrible angle into there. So we decided to hit 3-wood off the tee, take the bunker out of play, lay up down to the right, and give ourselves the best angle to that pin. And, that was, it helped us, make a really easy par, but, secured us a great look at birdie just because, you just changed one thing. So it really is, you have to think from the green backwards on all these holes, and there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Well, it was incredibly impressive for you to manage yourself around that golf course. I mean, you're a Masters rookie, and also you kind of have a rookie caddy. I mean, I know Carter's got a ton of experience, and you caddied for in the USAM, he caddied for Greaser in the USAM. He's a college player himself. I mean, he's a golfer and he's caddied for you before, but he's a Masters, rookie as far as caddying goes. I was just super impressed with him because I don't know if he was just like naturally that calm or if he was just daydreaming and staring off into the trees half the time, but he just looked so at ease the entire time.
Yeah, I think that's one of his great qualities and why he's such a good caddy. And, he was so great with me at the US Amateur and with Greaser as well, because he's just such a calming force and he's not, he's just comfortable and, he makes me feel at ease when I ask him like, hey, you think 6-iron's a good club here? And he says, yeah, I think 6-iron's perfect. I really believe him. There's no like wavering in his voice or no nervousness. And I think that's what made him great. And I think, you know, you could say, you know, a lot of guys might argue like, oh, you want a veteran, and, you know, that is, you know, there's some merit to that.
Sure.
You know, a lot of those veteran caddies, they have a little bit more golf course knowledge, and there's kind of a fraternity of caddies out on tour. And, you know, those guys share more information with each other. So, you know, Carter and I had to do a lot of the work in our book on our own. But, you know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's totally worth it to have a guy that I really trust and had, has a lot of familiarity with my game on the bag.
Amateur dinner Monday night, live up to the expectation or exceed it, or did it blow you away?
It absolutely exceeded my expectations. It was phenomenal. They did a great job. I think one of the coolest things about the amateur dinner, just a little thing, was they made a little video presentation for each amateur going through each amateur's accolades and highlights. And Jim Nantz narrated everyone's accolades and everyone's video. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I was like, there's no way that Jim Nantz just did that for everyone. It was amazing.
Did you get a copy of it, or are they going to be able to get you any of that?
I have not gotten a copy of it. But, you know, I would be happy to have one. It was really, really special.
That's awesome. You make the cut. You have a great first round. We're one under. You get through. Friday was just, you know, really, really tough for everyone. But I think you shoot even on the front in round two. I think at that time you're like T15, T20-ish, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then kind of the wheels get a little wobbly, which is bound to happen. And you got a four-hole stretch where I think you're about 4 or 5 over. You know, we talked about being nervous during Butler Cabin, but that probably had to be the most stressful part on the golf course the whole week. You're like, okay, I'm all of a sudden staring the cut line in the face.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. You know, I think that was it was tough, but definitely tested my patience. I think we made a, you know, after going, you know, bogeying 10, you know, the double on 11, which is pretty unforced. And then the, you know, the on 12 making bogey, which isn't a bad score, you know, with the wind going on, you know, the bogey on 10, a bogey on 10, 11, 12, that's nothing bad. But, you know, I definitely started to, you know, we've tried to force something on 13, you know, trying to hit the green, and we got really lucky there that, you know, I didn't hit in the water. You know, we were able to capitalize on that, and that kind of righted the ship, you know, after making a good putt there. But that was, you know, really stressful, and, you know, but I think I did a great job of, like, kind of after that happening, you know, just trying to recenter myself, continue to hit some good golf shots, and, you know, just try to get in the clubhouse. And, you know, I did bogey 18, I think. And after that, I think I got to 3 over, and I was walking off 18 and pretty dejected. I thought I just missed the cut, or, you know, just made it really, really close. And I get into the scoring area and I'm T45, and, you know, my mood kind of, you know, swapped around. But, you know, I didn't really realize how difficult the course was going to play that day for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. That was not the most cheerful post round interview we did all week. We did a lot of them. I was like, why am I even talking to Neil right now? He literally just wants to leave. And I kind of understood that, but no, you handled everything like a champ. I know Saturday really didn't go the way you wanted it to. Like I said, you're T40 something. I'm guessing you were thinking, okay, if I do something really special and maybe I'll have an outside chance at going for a T12 on Sunday. That obviously didn't happen, but I think the consolation was pretty damn good. You get done, you get back to the range, and I guess the first person to tell you, the first person to tell you that you're playing with Tiger in the final round was Carter. You guys, I mean, that must have been the most ridiculous moment of the week thus far. You're on the putting green like, holy shit, I'm playing with Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I didn't believe it at first. I actually went right to the little hut they have next to the range there to go check the scoreboard. And I looked at it, and Tiger was, we were lined up to play. And then I was super excited, and I got back to the green, and we were all really pumped up. But then we thought to ourselves, like, oh gosh, he's just shot 82. He might not play tomorrow.
Well, yeah.
So we were worried about that for a while. And then it didn't really feel super real until he actually showed up on the on the practice facility on Sunday morning. And that's when we knew, like, oh my gosh, this is, like, actually going to happen.
How intimidated was Tiger Woods to come up and talk to you, or did you have to kind of take that off of his shoulders and introduce yourself first?
Yeah, I just had to go up and introduce myself to him first just to make him feel comfortable. I met his, Lance's caddy and said hi to Charlie and, made sure I gave the kids the time. That was really cool. It was pretty fun. He's super nice all day to me and definitely awesome on the range there, just took a few seconds to talk. It was fun.
I was thinking about that a lot on Sunday. I'm thinking to myself, I mean, Tiger's obviously doing his own thing. He's concerned about himself, but he could have easily just said, "I can't go." And that would have been absolutely crushing for you and Carter. But I mean, you said in the presser that he told you he got up at like 3:30 in the morning. I mean, he's a competitor. He's a professional, but man, I mean, you guys are going to have that memory for your entire life. And that's what he did. I mean, he didn't do it for you, but by him being there, he gave you a memory of a lifetime.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It's how relaxed he was too all day. I think, if you're near the lead, it would have been a different story. But
sure.
Because we were kind of both so far off. It was, we just had like a really, I think I said in the press conference, it was kind of like a really casual round with Tiger Woods, We just hung out like we were buddies and talked and really enjoyed each other's company.
How was Carter? Because there's a couple of pictures of him smiling and I'm like, all right, Carter's doing his best to hold it together, but there's no way. I mean, he had to have been geeking out a little bit.
Oh, we were both geeking out a ton.
and you played really well too. That's what's so funny about it. It's like you played really well. I mean, the up and down on two was sick. Now your drive off of one, I was by the putting green, by the way. And when you guys were warming up, I don't think you or Carter were looking up at anyone. You were afraid to do that. And I'm standing there in the putting green and these two guys behind me go like, dude, I said 20 bucks. He said, 20 bucks as Shipley hits it left off of one. And I just was really close to saying, man, the hell with you. I'll take that bet. But then I'm thinking to myself, no, Neil probably can't feel his legs right now. That's probably exactly where the ball's going.
Went right, but not left.
Oh, I thought it went right. Okay. I thought it went left.
Yeah. Went into the bunker and it was a fine spot and gave ourselves a look of par. But no, that was not our best tee shot. Number one was not our best hole off the tee this week. Neither was 18, but that was, no, I tell you, over that tee ball, I was definitely a little nervous, and it was pretty tough. But, that second tee shot, though, that's, we started to hit a really good one, and Tiger said, hey, good drive for a nice shot. And, Tiger walked up a little bit past us, and I went over to Carter, and it's like, Tiger Woods just said, hey, good drive, Neil, to me. It's like, how cool is that?
You dork. So every time you hit a good shot, you're just looking over at him like, come on, keep saying it.
he gave good shot when it's deserving.
Of
and
course.
So I appreciated that.
That's just absolutely insane. The walk up 18, I thought was real class. I know that you kind of let him go ahead and went up front, but the walk up 18 must have been one of the most memorable aspects of it for you.
Oh, absolutely. Getting to, let Tiger go first and see that and just kind of take a step back and really kind of enjoy that moment was super cool. And then, I think what was even was really cool too is I got a little ovation when I got up to the green as well, which I really appreciated. The patrons at Augusta were just phenomenal all week, and you had a lot of Go Ships and OH is and all that, so it was pretty awesome.
Now were you kind of the one kind of driving conversations with him, or did you feel that he was starting conversations with you? Like, I know it's a long day and you're the topics are wide ranging. I'm not going to ask you to recount every single conversation, but I'm curious, was he kind of taking an interest in you, or was, obviously, anyone he's playing with is going to want to pick his brain?
Yeah. I mean, he started a few conversations and asked about me and my family and what my plans are and all that. So that was really cool. But, and I definitely started a lot of conversations as well, but what was cool is a lot of times you ask guys like, oh, where are you from or whatnot? And that's kind of an end of conversation. But Tiger is more than willing to hold a conversation and you know, keep talking about things as we walk down the fairway, which was awesome. You know, the having the ability to talk with him for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes going on down the fairway was really cool.
Well, I thought it was great too that you were like, I mean, I don't know if you were consciously thinking about it or not, but I thought, like, you know, why stay away? Like, chat him up, have a good time out there. Like, you know, like, this is a once in a lifetime, more than likely a once in a lifetime opportunity. And yeah, why not just go in and enjoy it? I mean, you're not bothering him. It's just, you're having fun. Just a normal guy. Guys are enjoying a Sunday walk at Augusta National. I thought that was great that it was not like, oh, I don't want to say anything. And no, I thought it was fantastic.
That's a great point. You know, there's no reason to shy away from the guy. He's a normal dude, and he has, normal interests, and he has a family and kids that he really cares about. And, you know, so we got to dive into all that, and he's got a great knowledge about golf too. So, you know, I picked his brain about a few things and talked to him about some stuff, but it was really interesting throughout the whole week, throughout the whole day. I couldn't think of a better way to spend my Sunday.
Your parents must have just been, your parents are fantastic. Your sister was there. I mean, they walked with you every step of the way. And it was funny, like, I think before the round, I saw your sister, and I think she mentioned something like, well, the crowds are going to be big. It's going to be hard to see him. And then I bumped into her at the end, and she's like, oh my God, it was amazing. And I was like, that's awesome. I'm glad they kind of enjoyed the experience, even though, you know, the galleries were larger probably than they were anticipating. But I mean, that must have been nuts for them too. And they must be peppering you with all sorts of questions, just like I am.
Oh yeah. The amount of questions I got, when we got back to our house, it was, you know, we're all talking about it and everyone's asking about the note and all those other things. And, it was a lot of fun for them. And, you know, anytime you get to watch Tiger is awesome, but, you know, watching Tiger and your brother or your son I could imagine it just be amazing.
So how do you transition from a Sunday round with Tiger Woods to the opening round of the Kepler Collegiate at the Scarlet Course in Columbus, Ohio? How do you possibly go from walking those fairways to now you're going to carry your bag? I mean, that's welcome back, Neil. I mean, that's the best way to look at it.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be a little bit different, no doubt. But I'm still, you know, trying to prepare just as hard as I would for the Masters, for every tournament, and give it my full attention and, you know, really focus on trying to get a win for the team and, you know, help us out with some momentum going into Big Tens. And, you know, that's, you know, our team has a lot of really big goals, and I want to help us get where we want to go. So that's, you know, I think I'll definitely be probably not very nervous on that first tee or going around that golf course. But I think we're going to be focused and ready to go.
Player dining is going to bring you back down to earth really quick. Not speaking badly about anything that Ohio State does, but I think that it's going to be slightly different.
Yeah, just a hair. You know, I think we're lucky that being a home event, Coach takes us out to dinner pretty often, but not going to be quite like the pimento cheese and, peach ice cream sandwiches.
I like the peach ice cream. I'm more of a Masters Club kind of guy with a little bit of egg salad, but I will tell you, after a week in the media center with unlimited access to all those sandwiches, I'm kind of done with them for a year. Those egg salad sandwiches don't look as good on Saturday and Sunday as they did on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, I definitely could see that. I was a big fan of the chicken sandwich as well, and by the time I got to Friday, I was like, all right, I've had about like 7 of those. Let's try something else.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Neil, I know that you've been kind of doing a lot of media and having a lot of conversations, people asking you about a lot of different things with this great experience, and you've always been great. You've been on the podcast, like I said, I don't know how many times, but hope we do many, many more. Go get prepared and rested for the bring your home tournament, and then obviously, like you said, Big Tens, Nationals, all that fun stuff. And oh, by the way, you're going to play in the U.S. Open, so might want to mark that on your calendar and get ready for that one as well.
Absolutely, you know, it's Pinehurst is the next big one circled, and really excited for that opportunity to go compete with the best in the world again. So looking to show up big there as well. So I appreciate you having me on the Back of the Range again and look forward to seeing you again soon.
And when you see Tiger at the US Open, I mean, you got to just say, hey, good seeing you again. I mean, you got to pull that flex, right?
I'll definitely go up and say hi to him again. And I think it'll be good to see a familiar face on the range.
Thanks, Neil. I'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ben.
And there you have it. Special thanks to Neil Shipley for joining me once again here at the Back of the Range. Don't forget, follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Every episode is available at thebackoftherange.com. I'm off to Naples. Follow Terracotta Invitational on Instagram. And we'll see you next time here at the Back of the Range.